scope of what's needed in order to really learn Anishinaabe Mo'in. Thank you so much, Duncan, for your amazing trailblazing work in the media and, of course, with Anishinaabe Mo'in.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Onigiwahi.
Gigawabamin. Soko seni denit e minen yuji hina.
Eko se.
Kaku utau. We'll see you again.
You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, fisheries throughout the Skeena watershed are in full swing right now, and thousands of salmon are headed upriver to their home systems to spawn and die. Many salmon will complete the journey, but that doesn't necessarily mean the populations are healthy. Research in the Bulkley and Maurice River systems, home streams of the Wet'suwet'en Nation, has been ongoing for decades, but new studies into the shift in distribution of Maurice sockeye especially is shedding light on their future. Maurice sockeye populations have been depressed for years, but an electronic tagging program conducted by the Wet'suwet'en Fisheries at the Wet'suwet'en Canyon is helping track where Maurice sockeye are spawning, which could help Wet'suwet'en Fisheries better understand what new habitats these fish are populating and protect those areas for future spawners. It's a lot of work, but the science is bringing the community together. Today we'll chat with Brian Michel, a 29-year veteran fisheries technician with the Office of the Wet'suwet'en, and Sam Vincent, a fisheries technician with the Wet'suwet'en Fisheries Department. Stay with us.
My name is James Brian Michel, fishery technician for Office of Wet'suwet'en. We're at the beach seine site where we do tag and release of target species, which are sockeye, coho when they come in, and steelhead. The operation consists of a jet boat and a 200 meter net, knotless net, to protect the salmon. When the technicians get here, they prep the site, load on the net, and as soon as the net is on board, the time starts. So they'll wait 15 minutes in between sets. So at least two sets an hour. But when the fish are here, we're lucky to get one. One an hour, so we're starting to pick up a lot now. We're doing some Floyd tags and some radio tags on the sockeye. But when the coho are here, we'll be doing just Floyd tags and steelhead. If there's any recaps, they'll go into the... The reason we do the 15-minute wait is because of the recaps. If we did a set right away, we'll be cooking the books. So we wait 15 minutes just to let the tags go. Then we'll wait another 15 minutes every day. They do a classic horseshoe set. There's always a safety person on board with the driver. Keep an eye on the net. Any snag ups, you'll let them know. But when they come in, they'll have to pull lead line and the corks on both sides. And when you bring in the net with the bag of fish, they'll have to start sorting it out. We usually go with the target, which is sockeye, and steelhead. Those are the main ones that we tag, so we'll get those out of the way right away. We tagged the sockeye this morning. They tagged four this morning, I believe, and they have to do the same thing, the measurements. But this time they have to get the scale, five scale samples off that target, and DNA sample. That'll be the tail punch. And that goes in the envelope for each fish.
I guess in your 29 years,
You know, what has changed for you? What have you seen in the change here and in the canyon? What's the difference between when you first started to now?
The big change was probably the Chinook numbers. I have noticed the Chinook numbers just drop quite a bit. And it's like that every species. If one is protected, the other one will get hit. So we see that up here. But we notice our first set every morning was actually a big set of Chinook, at least 50. Now we're lucky to catch one. So that's the big change.
What is this all for? What are you hoping that this will do?
The radio tagging would give us the timing of each. Say there's Atna sockeye, then there's a main stem, Maurice Lake, there's spawners there, and the big one is Nanaka. So timing is everything for us. When we get each of the systems that I mentioned, we'll know the timing when we get this, when we start the tag of Floyd tagging. So we could see when each run is going through.
And have you noticed that change as well, like the timings have shifted?
Yes, the heat or the change of weather seem like they're coming up a little earlier. June, July, before it was July when we seen them, but now we're starting to see them a little earlier.
This one's in a pod female. Looks like some net marks. 55 is the four point. This one's got pretty good condition. Pod yellow tag is 14062.
As Brian Michelle runs the beach seine on the lower end of the canyon, Sam Vincent is overseeing a crew at the top of the Whitsett Canyon at the falls. Dip netters use long poles and nets to scoop out sockeye trying to get up the falls. Many of the fish are tagged and sent back, but some are used for food fish to keep the community fed, a practice hundreds of years old. The samples and data being collected will not only help rebuild the Maurice sockeye populations, but keeps the traditional practice of dip netting alive, passing on the knowledge to a new generation.
My name is Samantha Vincent. I'm a Wet'suwet'en Fisheries Technician, and right now we are in Whitsett, BC.
And Sam, tell me, you know, how does this start? What are you guys doing here at the Wet'suwet'en Fisheries at the canyon?
So what you're witnessing in the canyon is the Whitsett Mark Recapture Program. You're seeing our two top fishermen using the dip net to bring the salmon to the tagging table and the holding tanks, where they will apply DFO passive tags. And on top of that, we are deploying radio telemetry tags so that we can track the sockeye salmon back to the headwaters, the spawning grounds.
And tell me a little about the setup here. So you got a couple of fishermen who are dip netting in the canyon. What are they pulling out of the canyon?
Right now they are pulling out sockeye, pink, a few steelhead. The fishermen will transfer them to the runners. They'll bring them to the tagging table, hold them in the tanks, and then after that they're released.
What information are you taking? It looks like Willie was measuring them. What are they doing?
Okay, so what they're doing is they're gonna sex the fish. They take DNA samples. They take scale samples to be paired with the radio telemetry, radio tags that are going out. Willie's measuring the length from nose to fork in the tail. They're getting the sex. They're taking the scale samples. The caudal punch is for DNA. All of that data is recorded so that we can better track the sockeye going back up to the headwaters and spawning.
Why does Wet'suwet'en Fisheries do this every year?
Wet'suwet'en Fisheries runs this program every year because our Maurice recovery unit, as we call it, the Maurice Atna Nanaka stocks, have been endangered for more than 20 years. And this information that we gather here helps to feed our nation as an accurate number of escapement and spawning to help us better make decisions when it comes to harvesting for FSC purposes.
You know, what does it mean to you to do this work, to try to help inform the nation to see, hopefully see, more sockeye come back to the territory?
Well, now that I've been involved in this program, I recognize the nation need to be able to continue to sustainably harvest our sockeye for FSC needs. This program has really enlightened me in the processes of just how long it's been that the Wet'suwet'en have been trying to recover this stock.
You guys are doing the work up at the Maurice. How does that juvenile program kind of relate to some of what you're doing here?
So the sockeye smolt program that we run up at Wet'suwet'en Maurice Lake, we can use the data of the smolts leaving the headwaters, kind of gives us a better idea of how accurate, you know, spawning escapement counts are. What's leaving the lake gives us a better idea of what may return.
You know, salmon are such a big part of the culture, and what does salmon mean to you?
Salmon really reflects our resistance, our culture. To me, taking those cultural teachings, they're becoming a lost art. We lose fishermen. They have been indoctrinated into thinking that conservation is the only way. We no longer have food sustainability within our nation, because this has been such a long struggle that our people have been discouraged and they no longer fish. They no longer use this sockeye to sustain their social and cultural needs.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.